brought to you by Penguin.
Henry Chips Channon. The Diaries, Volume 3, 1943-57. By Chips Channon. Read by Tom Ward. Forward. As I read the last line of this final volume of my grandfather's diaries, I felt proud that we had fulfilled my father's ambition of publishing them unexpurgated. I also felt sad, because I did not want the extraordinary journey to end. I have experienced similarly conflicting emotions about the diaries themselves. Chips was no saint, and there are things I have learnt about him that I rather wish I hadn't. At the same time, I have loved reading the historical content of these diaries, and about Chips' adoration for my father, about his generosity and kindness to his friends, and about the huge amount of fun he had. And I am constantly reminded of the words his close friend Lady Diana Cooper wrote of him after his death. He made the old and tired, young and strong, shine beneath his 1,000 lighted candles. Without stint he gave of his riches and of his compassion. It is important to acknowledge, as I have done in the previous volumes, that these diaries reflect the attitudes of the time in which they were written, and contain language and opinions that are now quite rightly considered to be outdated and offensive. Chips also makes critical or disparaging comments and disclosures about the parents and relatives of family and friends. I want to make it clear that such material has been retained solely to ensure the integrity of the diaries, and that its inclusion does not mean that I in any way condone it or wish to cause embarrassment or offence. I would like again to acknowledge and thank Robin Howard, who was the person who encouraged my brother Henry and me to publish the diaries, and who then went on to give us invaluable help and advice. I would also like to thank Georgina Capel, our literary agent, Nigel Wilcoxon, publishing director at our publishers, Penguin Random House, and Hugo Vickers. All provided help and advice throughout. However, the person to whom I owe the deepest debt of gratitude is the editor of the diaries, Simon Heffer, who has been outstanding in every way. It has been a great privilege and pleasure working with him. I would like, in addition, to acknowledge the important work done by Helen Howard in preparing copies of the manuscripts and helping to check their transcription. And I would like to offer my thanks to the transcribers who worked on this volume. Peg Van Amerongen, Consuela Barker, Fergus Bernand, Alex Colville, Dominica Dunn, Rory Fraser, Sibylla Phipps, and Luke Regan. All three volumes have had the benefit of the assistance and professionalism of Rod Lord, who undertook the scanning and preparation for printing of the various family photographs included, of Stephanie Heathcote and Amy Musgrave, who designed the jackets, and of Isabel Ralphs, our publicists. I offer my thanks to all of them. It is a great tragedy and a huge sadness that my brother, Henry, did not live to see this last volume published. He died in October 2021, and I would like to dedicate this volume to him and to my father, Paul. As Lady Diana Cooper said of Chips, "These poor lines record my tears and the sorrow of many whose lives from now on will be lonelier." Georgia Fanshawe. Editor's Introduction. This third and final volume of the diaries of Sir Henry Chips Channon picks up the narrative in late July 1943, just after the fall of Mussolini, and continues until early 1957, when Channon's health began to deteriorate, and he appears to have stopped keeping a record of a life that had become less social and increasingly more a question of day-to-day survival in its last 18 months. Until then, as readers familiar with the first two volumes will have come to expect, the diarist gives detailed accounts of his life in all its aspects, as well as providing commentary on the lives of the people with whom he comes into contact, a mixture of people from high society, politics, and the arts. Channon remained a Member of Parliament until his death, though out of the racket, as he puts it. That is, no longer with a position at the lower end of government as a parliamentary...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?